do. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show where an actual garbage man plays games 20 years or older that you, the listener, chooses. Every week, I randomly pick a game submitted by the community to play, dissect, and then we discuss. But honestly, it's just an awesome excuse for me to play 20-year-old games in my spare time, even with the Kentucky accent. Woo! I am your host, the Nature Boy, Bee Roasted Chicken Salad Sandwich. So this week is going to be a little different type of show. Since this is another football game, and I tried my best to squeeze as much review content as I could with my short time in this Dreamcast sports game, I just came to the conclusion that it's not enough content for a full Super Garbage Day episode. So I decided, let's have some fun. So we're going to just have a bunch of fun segments with a lot of commentary from the community and just see what happens. Also, if you want to hear the NFL 2K review, then just jump to
the 30-minute mark.
But before we go off the rails, here are the usual happenings around these neck of the woods. As always, you can catch my first impression video of the week's game in the show notes to put a face to the video game's name. Also, feel free to subscribe to the YouTube channel for future Super Garbage Day videos. The last episode of Backlog Eternal was on Tecmo's Deception, a super bizarre, quirky, interesting first-person game. Hot shingles, you say. On the PS1 that I completed, and let's just play a nice big fat sample of that right now. Where you are ultimately evil. There's no way around it. You play the bad person in this game. I mean, to the point where you're literally working with Satan himself. Not all the visitors are bad too, which kind of feeds into the fact that you're awful. Some of them are thieves. Some of them are bounty hunters. Some of them are there to just adventure and find treasure. Some of them are there for like really, really good reasons, like holy virtues, which makes you feel like a total fucking piece of shit when you kill them. Like early in the game, there's these two parents that come in and they're there because you have a bounty on your head that was given by the castle. So they're there to collect the bounty because their kid is dying from sickness. And when you destroy them or capture them, it goes to a cutscene of the kids walking around their house empty, crying for their mom and dad. And I was like, God damn, that's f***ing cold. I know the Super Garbage Bowl is not finished. It's actually been giving me a little bit of anxiety because I need to finish it. And nothing's been aligning for me to finish it. So I think here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to complete it next week, the entire thing in one big episode. And I promise if we do it again next year, the second annual, I am going to structure it way better. Because it's just been difficult. A lot of things happened this summer that right in the middle of its production. And it was supposed to be just like a fun project. But we need a winner. We need to know what game is the worst NES game. So that big fat episode is going to be, that's in my queue to be created, produced before anything else other than the next Super Garbage Day episode. So that is really priority one right now. So look forward to that. The Super Garbage Bowl, if you don't know what that is this summer we had all the patrons submit one terrible NES game and then we randomly bracketed them March Madness style and then played them all and then now we're reviewing down to see what is the number one worst game. So we'll get there, don't worry, I promise, because it's a cool idea and I just like I have some ideas for next year I think that are gonna work really well and I'm thinking maybe do Sega Genesis games or Super Nintendo games next year, but throwing around ideas already early. I know that's many, many, many months away. It's just like the end of summer right now, so it's crazy to be talking about that, but Super Garbage Bowl will conclude, and then the next time it will be done a lot more structured, so I appreciate the patience. The next episode of Retro Deep Cuts, our Patreon-only exclusive podcast, will be about the best Sega Genesis songs. So I need you, the listener, or anybody in our community to contribute. So please join the Discord for free. The link is in the show notes. And on the Retro Deep Cuts channel, add as many tracks as you want. I will listen to them all, I promise. Unless it's some like gigantic 10-hour track thing, then yeah, no. Okay, you know what? It's time for the retro question of the week. And I'm going to pull a Uno reverse card on y'all and ask a question myself. And that question is, what canceled game made you the most bummed out? So, our friends in the Discord, Van Fernal starts with, literally by just posting a picture of Mega Man Legends 3. So, I don't think he need to say much. He was just very upset that that never was released. I've only played the first Mega Man Legends, and I liked it. I was one of those people that liked it when everybody else hated it, and I haven't played it since. So, yeah, I guess I feel you there. I didn't even know there was a part two, to be completely honest, but there must be. MK Keith answered this question by saying Silent Hills, otherwise known as PT. Oof. He states, I still can't even think about PT without getting anxiety, let alone playing it. And knowing Kojima was going to be behind the wheel felt like a big deal that would hopefully resurrect the franchise. It wasn't even just Kojima, too. It was Junji Ito was the art director. And if you don't know who Junji Ito is, he has some of the best horror manga. He's like a Japanese legendary horror manga artist. One of my favorites. I actually have multiple Junji Ito tattoos on my body. I think I have like three. So that was the art director. Then they had Guillermo del Toro. I'm sorry, I don't pronounce that really well. Being one of the directors. And I mean, that was a dream team of horror. That would have been... That almost seemed like a project that was, it was too good for its own shoes. Like it just could not have happened. It just had, it would have had the highest stakes with all those people involved. And that demo honestly was amazing. Like how do you make a whole game of that? But I feel you there. We'll never know what Silent Hills is. And later on we know we got, we got Death Stranding, but or yeah, which I actually really liked. I went into that knowing that people were hating on it and calling it a walking simulator. And then I played it and I'm like, I'm feeling this game. I like it. It's fun. So my answer to the question, what canceled game made me the most bummed out is honestly Earthbound 64. When we heard about this, it made me happy because it was around the time that Earthbound still had its little core community of cult following, but we couldn't believe that it was actually going to come to the 64. I remember seeing production shots. And what's funny is a lot of those characters and those themes ended up in the Game Boy Advance Mother 3. But man, I would have loved to seen what they would have made. And or how could they have? Because the N64 had so many limitations. Like, imagine if they went full... Like, if Earthbound 64 was built on the Mischief Makers engine. Can you just imagine that? That would have worked. And they would have been able to make something like ridiculous, but we'll never know. All right, let's ask more questions. The Main Quest podcast asks, just simply, Capcom or Konami? Seeky Wisdom responds with, 1980s Capcom versus Konami is a really tough fight. My gut is leaning towards Capcom, even if only slightly. I agree with you there. Van Vernal says present Capcom, 2003 Konami. Van Vernal being very, very succinct this week in his answers. Salty Boy, a new person in the Discord, welcome, says, yeah, I agree with Van. Cap's been knocking it out of the park the last couple of years. And I agree as well. But my answer, personally, it has to be Konami. Because Konami is more aligned with my past and my love of video games of my childhood all the way up until like my adulthood. And by that, I mean like things like Castlevania, Silent Hill, even Mystical Ninja Goemon things, Contra, even Suikoden or Suikoden, however you want to pronounce it, even the Ninja Turtle games. And I do understand that Capcom had obviously things like Mega Man, Street Fighter. I mean, they're both just heavyweights. And we know now that the state of Konami is a lot worse than it used to be. In regards, but I'll be honest with you, I really don't play new video games anymore. I just can't afford all these systems, and B, I don't like what's happened to video gaming. I don't like the having to be on the internet all the time. I don't like the updates and the season passes and all this stuff. I don't like, I feel so unattached from it. And I really just kind of stopped hardcore gaming right around the 360 area. I love the 360. Other than the regular NES, I don't think I've played a system more than the Xbox 360. And about the time that it started getting a little like, because that was the system where, I know this is totally a tangent, but just like walk with me here. I know that the 360 had its fair share of like the loot boxing and like the DLC stuff, but it was like they dipped their toes in it near the end of this life. And so then it really went full force with the next generation on all the crap that I hate now. So it's kind of like my last bastion of retro gaming, which it turns 19 next year. So that's how freaking old we are, y'all. The Xbox 360 is turning 19 years old. Holy cannoli. Leonardo DiCaprio wants to date it. All right. Great questions. Always love the retro question of the week. If you want to add to that, it's free. Like I said, in the Discord, we have a whole channel for it. So you can always just look up the retro question of the week channel in Discord. I literally just said that exact sentence. I was trying to say it another way, but I didn't. But who cares? All right. Now it's time to ask, what podcast are you listening to? Hey, let's go. I'm kind of excited to do this because as I stated, and as a lot of people already know, I am a garbage man by day. And I mean, literally, I am a recycling and yard waste garbage collector. I am the garbage man for a small rural town that I do not live in, that I drive out of town to. And I am solely responsible for the entire town's 500 plus garbage cans. And so with that comes a butt load of podcasting. Not me podcasting, but listening to. And without podcasts or music, I would honestly go nuts because it's just a repetitious job. I find myself listening deeply to podcasts while I do my job. And I find myself like going into autopilot, and I've optimized my route so well by this that I'm like losing hours from it. It's so funny. Like it used to be 8-hour day and now it's like a 6-hour day. I don't know why, but, and I'm not even like trying to like suck my own wiener right now. I'm just saying it's actually working against me, but financially, but I'm going to give you a list of literally the podcasts I listen to the most. And I'll kind of give you an explanation of what they are. First and foremost, and these are in no particular order, so don't think this is like a top 10 list. It's just whatever. There's a show called Remember the Game with Adam Blank, and he is he's great. He curses a lot. He is a comedian, now podcaster, and he's also the same age as me. It's weird how I've realized, like through listening to a lot of his episodes, I mean hundreds now, that there's a big correlation in his life and mine. Like I used to be an ex-comic. I used to work in a warehouse. I'm a big retro person. We both grew up on the same games. We both really love poker and learned and like did well in some areas of poker in our past. And I just kind of like resonate really well with Adam Blank and Remember the Game. And I really recommend it. I mean, it's his full-time job now, which is really cool and very deserved, but you have to go into it knowing that he's going to cuss a lot, but he's a pretty witty guy on his feet. So it's Remember the Game. Then I listen to the New Game Plus, which is a huge, so both these shows, Remember the Game and New Game Plus, are gigantic, gigantic influences on Super Garbage Day. Like I would listen to these shows a lot. I used to podcast in the past. I've been podcasting since 2015 and I had various shows and I had like some success with some and failures with other, but ultimately I led to like wanting my own retro video game podcast because that's something I'm really passionate about outside of. For a while, I did not really a true crime thing, but I did like a show called Life Bites. I think you can still find episodes for it. But back in 2016, I did a show called Life Bites that kind of my whole premise was find the weirdest things on the internet and then discuss it with a co-host. And it was fun. But also after like a year and a half of doing it, I realized it was putting me in a weird place mentally because I was spending my week like researching just terrible things. And then like I was making discoveries about humanity that was like slowly killing my happy little soul. And the answer all along was like, well, retro games. Like, I love retro games. I've been a gamer since 85. When I got my first Nintendo. Well, I guess I wasn't 85, but I would have been 3. I don't think I would have been old enough. But whole point is now I think I've reached a nice equilibrium. And New Game Plus, just like this show, is every week they pick a random game and they review it. And it's three guys. They're awesome. They're very they're better spoken than I am. They seem very educated. See, I'm a man of bad grammar, but I've always stated never judge a book by its grammar. And they have a little bit more distinct. I would assume that some of them in their jobs are like lawyers and stuff, but like they all have a common passion. It's in video games. So it's kind of cool to hear their perspective. Plus, I put a game into their pool and it ended up getting picked, which blew my mind. And of all games, it happened to be Bassin's Black Bass. So check out the Bassin's Black Bass episode of New Game Plus if you want a little Super Garbage Day cross-pollination going on there. Another podcast I really, really like, and I might be a little biased because it's a guy I grew up with and he's a close friend of mine and I love him to death, is the Sofa King podcast. It's three men. It's Dave, Brent, and Brad. And Brent is the person, Brent Van Tassel, I've known for 20 plus years. And he's still like, he gives me a shout out every week to his group and or to his fans and everything. And I really appreciate it. I'm glad that they've come a long way. I mean, they're up to like 700 episodes at this point. They've been around since 2016, never missed a week, 2-3 episodes, good stuff. They do deep dives into things like cults and really just anything interesting. They did an episode on Nintendo that I thought was really good. So check that out. Check out the Sofa King podcast Nintendo episode if you want to. Also, another podcast that is also a big influence on this one. Like I said, when I wanted to make a show, I took my biggest influences and I kind of Frankenstein them together to make a show that I would want to listen to. And so that's where Super Garbage Day came from. We also have the Main Quest with Keith, who is a friend of the show, close friend. We do guest spots on each other's show. He's in the same field I am. We're just like doing this kind of as a hobby, but it's very passionate. And it's awesome. And Keith's personality really shines through and I love it. But also he's one of those guys that you just end up, if you're into like retro gaming, you end up hearing him guest starring in like so many other shows. And I'm blown away. Like I'll pick up a new show and listen and be like, we got Keith from Main Quest. I'm like, my dude's in everything. But check him out. It's his whole premise of his show is that he is going to replay through pretty much his entire childhood of games, starting from like beginning to end. So he's going chronologically through the games that he played. He's also a big Earthbound stan like I am. So I'm hoping, I don't know how close we are to that episode, but we did a little side episode recently that's going to come out next month on his Patreon about Earthbound Halloween hack that you should check out. So Main Quest podcast for sure. Recently, I discovered this podcast, which I don't know where it's been my whole life, but I'm so glad I found it. And it's called Tyler and Dave Play Old Games, but it's also called Tadpog. Like Tadpog is the acronym. Oh my God. This is seriously like everything I just explained about Sofa King podcast, like three guys just going doing deep dives into it, but they're really funny. This is exactly that, but retro games. These guys are hilarious. You can tell they're all best friends. They live in Kentucky. They even when they talk about it, like old stores that are closed now or things they used to do as a kid and they're relating, it's one of those shows that captures that feeling of being in the room. You know what I mean? Like what a good podcast is feeling like you're there with the person or the people. Like if you can get that, if you can make people feel like they're hanging out with you, you've succeeded. And that show, Tyler and Dave Play Old Games or Tadpog, nails it. I don't think I could recommend anything higher. And I just found out about it like 2 weeks ago because I was researching other podcasts on, anytime I do an episode, I'll play the game, I'll write my review, and then I'll listen to other people's opinions on it and maybe add to that. And I just came across their podcast for, I don't know what it was, probably something silly. Oh no, it was for Guardian Heroes. So yeah, the Guardian Heroes episode we did on Super Garbage Day led to me discovering the Tadpog and highly recommend it if you're all about it. And then they're like really consistent. They're up 700 episodes as well. So they're funny. Another show I listen to is called Worth It or Worthless. And it's a retro video game podcast where two guys who are really close friends, one of them's a big collector, and I think the other one is too, but not as big as person A. And he will randomly grab a game out of his collection, and they'll just review it. And then they'll tell you if it's worth it or worthless these days. And I think it's kind of cool. It's a cool concept. Kind of reminds me of like Retrograde, that show, which I do kind of like, but man, they're so good at what they do. It's kind of intimidating. I'm like, oh man, I want to get to comfort like that. They got that together. Also a good show, by the way, Retrograde. But I mean, I'm pretty sure I don't tell you that. If you're listening to this, you probably have heard the Retrograde or like Retronauts or any of that. So, and lastly, I want to say I listened to a show called Nestalgia, which is also another group of guys chronologically going through every Nintendo release. So the Nintendo Entertainment System game release, they will go through literally from the first one to the last one, but they do it the date it was released. And then they, I think it's every week. I think it's every week or every other week. And then they just review the game. So it's kind of cool. That was not a short series, but yeah. Listen to all that. So it's Remember the Game, New Game Plus, Sofa King Podcast, The Main Quest, Tyler and Dave Play All Games, Worth It or Worthless, and Nestalgia. Now it's time to bring in a new segment that I'll probably never bring in again, but we're just having a sports episode. So we're effing off. So I'm calling this Thrown Away. Yeah. Better know. So what was thrown away in my routes that I picked up? Well, in the past, I've literally discovered, or I found a bag of laptops that were fine. I think it was an older lady who struggled with the technology, and I think she just kept buying new laptops and throwing away other ones when they started slowing down. Therefore, I ended up with a little... Well, you know what's funny? The way I found it is I was dumping the can and I just saw like six laptops fly out of the can with like the cords and everything. And I was, oh my God, they scooped them all up. And then I actually refurbished all of them and put like added SSDs to them and upgraded the RAM and sold them all. So, and gave one away. So that's one of the coolest things I ever found. I found Playboys. I don't know. This never happened again, but there was this one weird like stretch of 2 weeks on my garbage day route where I kept finding like bags full of old Playboys, like 90s, 80s and 90s Playboys. And being the collector I am, I took them home and I threw them on eBay. They sold like that. They sold immediately. And I kept one and it's in mint condition. And I'm not a political guy. I'll be honest with you. If anybody ever wants to ask me about what my politics, I hate politics. Like I just think all politicians are lame. I don't care which side, anybody, all of it's dumb. Fucking anarchy rules. But anyways, I say this because the only one I kept, and I kept it because I think it's going to be worth a lot of money, is the Donald Trump on the cover Playboy from like the mid 90s. So, yeah, I'm not going to say anything else because like I said, I'm not political, ain't a political show. I hate politics. But recently, as of today, I had a very weird pickup. So normally when I'm picking up recycling, I also have to pick up glass. I do both. I pick up the recycling. It's primarily plastics and cardboard and tin and, you know, aluminum and whatever, all that kind of stuff. But I also have a separate section for glass. And today I went to pick up a glass container and it was 600 pounds. It felt like I almost threw my back out. I'm like, what the hell? I looked down. It was 20 bottles of unopened wine. And I look up at the house and this area is rural, but they're like older people. Like the demographic is older people with money. So I look down. I'm like, why is there so many? And there was like probably 10 bottles that were open and drank. And I'm like scratching my head, like, why are they throwing these away? So I started looking at the bottles. They're all different. They're all in perfect condition. Some of them dating all the way back to 2005. And they're unopened and not like cracked or anything. I was like, I'm taking these home. So now these are in my possession and I don't know what to do about them, but I think we're going to give some away and, and go from there. But yeah, that's what happened today. And being a garbage man is really funny because I'm a lone wolf, you know, like I don't work with another person. I do all of it. I have a smaller truck. I have to get out of the truck every stop and grab the can and sometimes lift it over my head, but most of the time hook it up to my arm that throws it in the back. But you know, it's a pretty physical job. But with that comes like a lot, especially in a rural community, it comes with like meeting a lot of people and you become a part of their routine and it's like older people. So there's like, I mean, these characters in my life, there's this old Korean man. I don't know how old he is, but he waits for me on the green waste days because he always has a lot of green waste and he tries to help me, but he's like kind of old and frail and he's super nice. But it's the thing about him that's interesting is that he always paints me pictures. He's into painting and he paints these like really interesting looking animals that are playing like instruments. One time he gave me like these weird Asian zucchinis. Recently he gave me an entire plate of like Korean beef with rice and beans, just like literally a plate covered with foil. And then also a bag of these chips that were completely made out of like sesame seeds. So it's fair to say I love the guy. Like, I look forward to seeing him and he's cool, but I got to figure out his name, and I need to put a picture of the last painting he gave me on the Discord so I could show you, because it's really cool. He just leaves them for me, and I'm like, cool, man. It makes you happy, makes me happy, man. Keep it up with the little gifts. I'm all for it. You know, on that same route, there's also this lady I call the Cran Ma, and by Cran, I mean like C-R-A-N, Ma. The first time I met her, she came out apologizing about the amount of wine bottles she had, and that she's like, oh, don't worry, I'm not drunk, I have a concussion. And I was like, I didn't ask anything, but okay. And is smiling, and she had like really bad lipstick put on, like she put it on herself really quickly. And then she says, wait, stop. And I was like, okay. And she came out and brought me a case of cranberry juice, individual cranberry juice drinks, but they were all expired by like a month, and I still drank them because I don't care. But I dubbed her the Cranma because of that. So saw her today and she's doing well. So she always comes out, says hi. So I always appreciate that, you know, but then I have weird people in my route. I call them the gazers. I have these old people that literally will just stare at you. Even if they're standing outside, that's like, imagine like just, I don't know how to describe it. The opposite of a zombie. They're standing there. They have like shoulders dropped, just looking at you, not flinching, not moving, not making a face expression. While I dump their trash can and I keep looking back at them, they don't move at all. And then when I'm done, they take the can and they put it back and they go inside. But the worst versions of those is usually around this time of the year where they're doing it from their window and I don't notice it till like too late. And I'm like, oh, they're called the gazers and they're weird and I don't get it. I don't know if it might be a mixture of dementia or I don't know. I mean, if it's that, then I feel bad, but I do kind of, now I've been doing this long enough that I do understand that this community is extremely lonesome and very, very nosy. So there you go. There's that segment thrown away. Scored some weirdo wines and Playboys and laptops. And that's just the life of a garbage man, my friends. Now let's talk a little bit about Xbox 360 before we get into the game. Because something's coming, guys, with Xbox 360. Something is a coming. And I think we're going to hit this bend where it's going to be the thing to collect for. I feel it and I see it. I've been watching a lot of videos lately, especially with that announcement of the Xbox 360 marketplace being shut off forever next August. Since then, I think there's seen a little bit of a spike. I did an entire episode of Retro Deep Cuts on this, called Xbox 360 games you need to buy now that are exclusives and not available and not backwards compatible and actually affordable. That's in the Patreon if you care. $2 gets you access to all my Patreon episodes, 20 plus, almost 30 now. But yeah, something's coming up. And I've discovered through all this, through my research lately of my Xbox 360 love, and I've been kind of thinking about, I want to make another show. I want to add another show to this under the umbrella of Super Garbage Day. And I'm kind of leaning towards an Xbox 360 one because I feel like it's one, like I said earlier, it's the second most played console in my life. And I'm currently collecting the hell out of it. And I don't know. Let me know what you think. It doesn't have to be a weekly thing, but I'm wondering if like a nice Xbox 360 show that goes over maybe like short reviews or how I feel about some of the games that were released and then kind of goes over the market value of games and tells you where things, which direction things are going. I don't know. I'm just thinking about it. Otherwise, it also led me to this really cool YouTuber called the RNG Gamer. I'll put a link in the show notes. His channel's awesome. I'll put a link into the beginning of part one of him showing off all his Xbox 360 games that he bought over time. He is so charming and he really goes into depth about like these games he owns. But then he talks about, it's so funny because I made this episode on like Xbox 360 games you need to buy now. They're going to get rare and expensive. And then I just watched his stuff in the last 2 days and all the games I mentioned, he said the same thing about. And I'm like, all right, I have a pulse on this. God damn it. So yeah, check him out. Link in the show notes. He's a YouTuber called RNG Gamer. All right. Got a lot out of the way, but like I said, this isn't going to be a long review, guys. So let's get into it. This week's game is NFL 2K on the Sega Dreamcast. Let's go.
Yeah!
NFL 2K is an American football video game series developed by Visual Concepts and published by Sega. The series was originally exclusive to Sega Dreamcast's console. Foremost, the 2K title. It marketed the beginning of a running athletic series that eventually led to the spinning off of 2K Sports publishing business under the name of 2K Sports. Upon the Dreamcast discontinuation, the series continued to be published on sixth generation game systems, just like Xbox, you know, PS3, what have you, and became the chief competitor of the Madden series. Before going into this, an Alex Perez from the YouTube, my first impression video on this game on our YouTube channel, commented, "I was 15, NFL Quarterback Club 98 on Nintendo 64 was basically my life. I was 16, NFL 2K2 on the Dreamcast is basically my real life. I was 17, Madden 2001 on the PS2 is basically real life. These years of video game football were the most transformative. I love it. Oh, I'm sorry. And I love it. I long for it. My favorite football games are still the Tecmo Super Bowl NES. What's up, bro? Right there with you. Followed by the Genesis version, which I've never played, which more closely follows the gameplay of the NES version than the Super NES version does, while upping the graphics. ESPN, NFL 2K5, and Madden 08. Wow. Thank you for adding that comment. I agree with you. Now, let's get into first impressions. Interesting game. I've played it before. This was a big game. This is like, I think, the first real football game I played other than Tecmo Super Bowl in my life, which I don't think I played at all when I was younger. But this is the first time because I was a big Dreamcast fan. Huge. There, day one when I bought it. Have a whole episode on Dreamcast games that I would see on a Dreamcast Mini in the Patreon. $2 gets you there if you want to check it out. But NFL 2K really was a big paradigm shift, I think, in sports games moving forward. And I remember when I played my first impression, I was brought back to it. Unfortunately, the only way I could play it, because I do not own a Dreamcast, was through an emulator. And so it was kind of glitchy and slower than it needed to be. So it's not the best representation of revisiting it. But I do remember my first impression of this game when it first came out and me being like, oh, my God, I like sports games now. And this was it. It looked good. It looked so much better than anything before it. So it shifted. Like, to this day, Maddens still follow how NFL 2K looks. It's just the way it looks with the camera angles, the way it's set up. Prior to that, I know they did have the same thing, but not with like the 3D graphics other than Blitz. But even so, they didn't go for the realism factor. And NFL 2K was the first to really, like, I think, bring it to the mainstream, and it scared the crap out of EA. So let's talk about graphics. I'm sorry. Let's talk about gameplay. So I'm going to make this real short. I played as the Chargers because I'm a Chargers fan. I've been a San Diego Chargers fan since I was 8, and now I guess I'm an LA Chargers fan, even though I hate when teams move cities, because I'm originally from Southern California. So I played as the Chargers. They were like the worst that year. Jim Harbaugh was the quarterback. I did not make the playoffs. I only beat two teams. It was the Browns and the Cardinals, and I sucked the entire time because I could not map the controls properly. I don't think it was the best way to represent a review for this game, but I still did it, and it was still kind of fun, but it's very archaic. It's the first real in-your-face realism NFL game. Like, later on I'll tell you why, how like the audio kind of it was revolutionary also for this situation. But it's blocky. At least it gives you more of like a polished Blitz look. Like, if NFL Blitz was trying to be serious, you know, that's what NFL 2K is. It looks like it's trying to be, and it did pull it off. This game was a big deal when it came out, and the gameplay is pretty much what every football game, any good football game is, you know. And you play through it, it's hard as nails. It's a little slower than I remembered. It's a little floaty, but also at the time, I don't think I felt that way. But yeah, it was kind of difficult to just get to a whole season, especially losing my ass over and over and over. and just throwing interceptions and not figuring out defenses correctly. And then just not, I don't know. I did so bad. A season of this is laughable. It's really interesting to know that when this game came out, though, this was the first game I ever played online against somebody on a console. So, because the Dreamcast had the 56K modem. So the first time I ever experienced online gameplay on a home console was this game right here. And it blew my mind. And I remember this game, I think, actually came out with a black Dreamcast, if I recall correctly. Like a special edition Sega Sports black Dreamcast. Correct me if I'm wrong, if it's 2K or 2K1, but I know that thing is worth a lot of money now, too. Sheesh. Whew, you can find that cheap. Then look for the black Dreamcast. It's crazy. But yeah, it's football, man. What can I tell you? It's a football game. Plays like a football game. The gameplay is nowhere near as fun as Tecmo Super Bowl. And I'm talking about a game that's predates it 20 years. So, but it's still, it is what it is. And it has its place. And I have to respect it. So let's talk about graphics and audio. I like that they had announcers in it, like hardcore. But then I came to find out later that the announcers aren't real announcers. They're like paid actors. So their names are fake. And I think that's even cooler. Like they should have just kept doing that. Because a big complaint we have now in games, people just don't like the announcers because people have like, you know, I don't like Chris Collinsworth or whatever. And like, well, just make up some fake announcers. You can't get mad at a fake announcer. You can always turn it off too. But this game like really showcased that as well. The music in it's fantastic. The presentation's wonderful. They were stunting hard when they introduced, like the intro screen itself is kind of flexing on people. And the music's fantastic. It's dated, but I'm like, oh, I remember this song, you know, a little bit of a, it's a throwback, but it's great. It's got that intensity that NFL, it feels very NFL licensed hardcore more than any Madden game around the time period that came out. Honestly, this game, I think set the standards for sound design in sports games moving forward because it was done so well. And now it's still like this. They still, even in the hockey games later on, I just played NHL NHL 14 on my 360, which is my go-to for sports games. Exact same presentation as this game. And you just see like this set the seeds of what was going to happen. And it's true because Madden, this game scared EA into pretty much later on making a deal with the NFL. That is, I think, really unfair, and it should be a monopoly law, but they made a deal that still to this day is active, that no other developer can use NFL licensing. And I think this game is the reason, because this game was good, and they started making more NFL 2Ks. They started making other 2K series, NBA 2K. And they were so well made. And now then, after that, they cut that deal. They're like, well, can't make any more of these games, can you? Which is fucked up. And another reason why we all hate EA Sports. Anyways, the graphics and audio are... The audio is great. Graphics, oof, have not aged well. But at least they haven't got to that area. There was this weird transition between blitzy-looking 3D models and, like, Uncanny Valley humanoid sports game-looking people into where we're now, where it's like, it looks real, but it still is a little robotic-y, you know? But it's not as, like... So it doesn't look like a bunch of mannequins with dead eyes, you know? So I don't know what to tell you, man. That's graphics and audio. It's a football game. What can I say? Let me just get to the verdict. So I know this game has not aged well. And to be honest, I can't recommend anybody playing it unless it's like picked by a randomizer for your show or you're a collector of the Dreamcast and you just want that full set. This game definitely has its place in video game history, especially for sports games in general. But it's just a relic, you know, of those days. And after it's all said and done, don't play it. It's a D. It ain't an F. I can't do that to it. I give it a D+. How about that? Because it's important. But I mean, there's no reason to play it other than its history. And maybe if you're like a big NFL fan, you want to go back and play the roster of 1999, then I get it. But I mean, that's such a small, small percentage of humans on this world right now. So there you go. NFL 2K on the Dreamcast. You know what time it is? I'll tell you what time it is. Time to spin that wheel of retro, baby. Let's go. Oh. Okay. Whoa, this is okay. I don't know what this is, but it's called catechumen. It's a 2000 Christian themed first person shooter. Christian themed first person shooter on the PC from a religious organ based developer. Holy smokes. It's also abandonware, so it's free. I don't know. I didn't even know this game existed until I spun this wheel. And I don't know who put this in the Patreon pool, but you're about to get a whole episode on whatever this is. And Van Fernal's coming on the show next week to talk about this game because I'm bringing him in for all the weird games. So I want to thank the patrons. You all make this show happen, and I love you for it. And I love that you're in our Discord. Even if you're not a patron, I'm still glad to have you in the Discord, be a part of the community. Let's keep retro alive. $2 a month can get you access to over 25 episodes of exclusive content, such as Retro Deep Cuts and Backlog Eternal, the two exclusive shows that you can only find on the Super Garbage Day Patreon. Please leave a review if you like the show. If you made it this far and you're kind of digging it, hey man, just give me a good review if you can. It just really helps. I'm trying to get out there. I always say my goal with this show is to quit dumping cans and just keeping retro alive. And, you know, a good review would help with that. So please do that if you can. If not, it's okay. Please don't leave a bad review, because then that's messed up. Join the Discord. It's free. Like I said earlier in last episode, it's a small community of like-minded people like you and I. And you can vote on things like the topics or the games being picked for some of the other shows. So jump in the Discord, say hi. You don't even have to say hi. You can just join it and just vote on stuff and not worry. But everybody in there is really cool. And we've all become this little retro family. And it's not like other Discords that has like a million people in it where it's just like overwhelming. This is like a small group of homies that hang out every day. So check it out in the show notes. Everything I just said, link in the show notes. It's a Linktree link. I will see you next week as we fight Satan in the year 2000 on a game I can barely pronounce. Catechumen. I don't know, man. Let's just cut to B. Bye.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.